Fun stuff. This is the lesson where we teach you how to make things look exactly like you want them to look. We're covering all things design here, visual design to be specific. Visual design is an uber important component to your brand. It's the colors you choose, the font, the feel. Is your website minimalist or busy, colorful or calm? Your visual design will teach your customers all about you if you do it right. While it would be great to hire a professional designer for everything, it's not always possible, right? So we're going to teach you how to do great design on a DIY budget, and we're going straight to a pro. In this lesson, we'll teach you how to make your visual design appear professional without actually hiring a designer, because you might not be able to do that right now. We'll share simple tips, tricks, and resources you can use to create visual content on your own, and we'll walk you through a design process to help you choose the right colors, fonts, and elements to elevate your unique, beautiful, special brand. By the end, you'll be able to create your beautiful visual design for your brand, including your website, business cards, social share, graphics, and more.
Hi everyone, I am Holly, and I am a brand and web designer at Daydream Design Co. It's my own company that I started in April of 2019, and today I'm going to join forces with Nutritious Life, and I am going to talk to you guys about branding and kind of how to style your brand. If you're doing it for the first time, or if you're DIYing it, if you're just starting out, or you're in the first year or so of your business, so let's go ahead and jump in. So let's first talk about what is branding. Branding, by definition, is really a marketing practice in which a company creates a name, a symbol, or a design that is easily identifiable as belonging to a company or a person, and this helps identify that product or a brand and distinguish it from others, essentially. Branding is super important because it's not only what makes a memorable impression on your customers or your target audience, but it allows your customers and your target audience to know what to expect from your company, and it's a way of distinguishing yourself from the competitors and clarifying what it is that you offer that makes you the better choice. And the best way to think about this is that a logo is really a vessel. It encompasses all the decisions that you're going to make as a brand, as a company. It has all of the look, the feel, the fonts, the colors, everything like that. It holds all of that. And those are the things that people are going to be able to best identify with your brand. So first things first, the very first thing that we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about mood boarding. We're going to talk about brand style, right? So that's what I have up here on our little presentation that we're looking at right now. And so I have dropped in some resources for you guys, and you can just click right on this PDF that I'll be giving you guys to look at. And you can click these resources and make your own mood board. But we're going to talk about the pieces and the parts of a mood board. And what it is a collage consisting of images, text, or objects based on a set topic, which is your brand in this case. From a design perspective, the mood board lets you experiment and figure out what styles you like, looking for like objects, colors, and words and textures and stuff that inspire you. So I would recommend checking out Pinterest or free stock photo websites, and even life outside of your screen, because there's amazing inspiration that you can find off screen. And once you gather that handful or two of images, you can decide on some adjectives that describe the way that those images make you feel or will make your target audience feel. And these keywords are a really great way to discover the mood behind your ideal brand. For instance, my personal brand buzzwords are dreamy, ambitious, and exciting. And I'm going to go ahead and show you guys an example of two mood boards for the brand that we're going to be looking at the majority of this presentation today. So the first one is, so you can make more than one mood board if you'd like. I encourage clients to do this because they're able to explore the styles that they enjoy. So as you can see, these two mood boards here are very, very different. We have a witty and edgy mood board, very collagey, very like paint strokey, edgy mood board here. And then we have this other mood board called Magic Love. And these are real mood boards that I use for a client of mine. And this one's more feminine. It's more sassy. It's more colorful for sure. And it's more like image based as well. And more also has more of like an illustrative feel, if that makes sense, with like these lip icons and stuff like that. And we'll see that all of these things play into the brand later on. So that's what I would recommend, is to go to one of these places, grab some images that you really love, and go ahead and make your mood board. So let's take a look here of how we were able to use Pinterest in this instance to kind of create a cohesive mood board for the brand direction moving forward. So you can see mood board number one here. We didn't include every single image that we pinned, and you can actually just keep your mood board inside of Pinterest if you want to, and you don't have to like put it in another graphic asset if you don't want to. That's just something that I do in my design process to help the client really gets a clear, consistent idea of the direction that we're going. So as you can see here, these images have a very similar feel and vibe. They have similar fonts. It's very scripty. There's a lot of these sans serif fonts, which are these modern looking fonts like this, Sophia's Tea. And then the second mood board, as you had seen in the presentation, is this other option, this like more edgy, dark, kind of like a rocker vibe, like rocker collage, like I'm thinking like Rolling Stones magazine type thing. So that is another option that we explored, and we ended up going with this more modern and feminine vibed mood board. So what I would recommend is, you know, picking those, I would say anywhere from 10 to 12 top images for each aesthetic that you're exploring. So again, like this is one aesthetic, and then there was a second aesthetic. And then really picking what you think would fit the vibe of your brand and the things that you like, the things that will attract your target audience, and go from there. The next thing that we're going to talk about is logos and brand elements. This is really, really important because this is the look and feel of your entire brand. This is the thing that stands out on the forefront and is really kind of like the cheerleader for your brand in a way. And so we'll talk about this. Basically, I would recommend either creating your own logo or finding resources that offer pre-made logos. So there's a bunch of different resources that I dropped down here. And there are also elements that you can add to your branding if you'd like, such as patterns, or like line elements or floral elements or something like that. And I'll show you a little bit more of that as we jump into it. So you can find a lot of pre-made logos on creativemarket.com. So if you see my example here, you can type in pre-made logos and click enter. And it's loading the results. And you can see that there are tons of pre-made logos here that you can purchase and use for your brand if you are someone who doesn't want to jump into creating your own. And there's, like I said, so many different ways that you can go about this. Creative Market would be my number one suggestion for that. There's also FreePick, which is freepik.com. Which is another great resource where you can find pre-made logos or brand elements, and I will show you how to find that. So if you type in logos, there might not be that many suggestions that pop up for here, but it's got a pretty decent variety, right? Some are premium, which you can totally sign up for a plan if you want to and just, you know, cancel it after a month or something if you want to do that. I would check into the licensing of that, though. You might have to purchase like an extended license for that specific piece of artwork. So make sure to look into that before you cancel your plan. And yeah, so this, as you can see, like if you download a pre-made logo like this, you get this like beautiful like floral element that you can use in your branding, or these like watercolor textures and stuff like that. And those are things that you can use in other assets of your brand. So like social media or your website, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But another thing you can do is type in brand elements. And then you'll see you can get these like little embellishments and stuff like that to add to your branding if you want. These cute patterns. There's even like business card templates and stuff like that. That's actually what I clicked on. But you can see that there is like a pattern here. And my suggestion would be always referring back to your mood board as far as the direction of your brand. and where you can go with it. So another thing that you can do is you can make your own logos. So my suggestions would be don't use more than two fonts. Don't mix up styles. So I'll show you an example of that, of what I mean. And then use fonts that align with your brand and your brand style. So again, refer back to that mood board. As you can see with the mood board that I had showed in the beginning, we had had like a really edgy mood board, and then we had like a really feminine, fun, like sassy mood board. So you wouldn't want those clashing as far as style. Like you wouldn't want to use like, and say your brand name is like, we can use Daydream Design Co. So say your brand name is Daydream, and then you have that in a script font, and then you use like a really like hardcore like paint font for Design Co. Like that style wouldn't really mesh, if that makes sense. And then also make sure that your logo is legible. That is one of the most important things, because when people are looking at your logo, they're going to want to be able to recognize it right away. They're going to want to be able to know what it says, what it stands for, the vibe of it. And that's basically your first impression of your brand as a whole, is that logo. So let's take a look at some examples of ways that you can kind of mix up fonts. And then I'm also going to give you guys some resources on where you can find fonts to kind of play with your own logo if you want to. So for example here, you can see that we have the CME Social logo here, and that's actually pulled from that that feminine mood board that I had showed you guys earlier. So you can see that this is a sans serif, which is that modern typeface or font, paired with a script font. So this works really, really well back to that brand style. And if we go backwards and we take a look at that mood board, it fits right into the direction that I wanted to go with this. Another example is a serif and a sans serif. So a serif font is a font that has like these little tails to it, and they look more classic, they're more timeless, they're used for more high-end brands like Kate Spade or I'm trying to think of other brands that may have it. So I would, you know, those type of like high-end brands, and it doesn't necessarily mean that those brands are like high-end by any means, if you use this specific font, but I'm just giving you examples of types of ways that you can use it. And so this is a serif and a sans serif. This is like the most classic font pairing, where you can do like a sans serif for your big word, like your big headline part of your logo, or you can do a serif for your subheadline of your logo if you want to. And then another example here where I kind of mix it up a little bit is a sans serif in a script, but the script is used in a different way here. And then we have another smaller sans serif in on the bottom to kind of just accentuate this more. So this is called All the Things Blog by Taylor Harmon. So her name is just smaller there, so you can see it better. So one of the places that you can go to get really great fonts is either Creative Market, where you can type in, or actually go under their drop down for fonts, and you can see that they have those sans serif, slab serif, serif fonts, script, and stuff like that. And you can click on these and you can download them, and they're paid. And so once you buy them, you have, and you can like buy a extended license for them if you want to, depending on how you're going to be using your logo. And then you can create your logo from that font. Another thing to keep in mind is they give away free goods every single week if you sign up for their email list or if you're just online. So you can see here this week they have this font, and some other cool brand elements that you can download if you want. And those are all for free, and they do this every week. Another suggestion I would make as far as downloading fonts is dafont.com, and I'll make sure to link this in the presentation where you can go back to it. But this is a really great resource too. I have been downloading fonts here for at least 10 years. So again, you have these categories here, and these categories are broken down even more. So you can see this is a sans serif category where you see all these cool fonts that you can pick from. They have a whole script like column where you can, you know, do a handwritten script, a calligraphy, a brush script. If we take a look here, we can see these handwritten ones, which would work really well with that sans serif, and stuff like that. So that is where I would recommend getting free fonts. There's also places like Font Squirrel or 1001 Fonts. And like I said, I'll be sure to link those in the presentation so you can go back to them. And then let's go ahead and keep moving. So let's move on to colors and fonts. So first things first, there are many places where you can pull colors for your color or for your own color palette for your brand. Pinterest is obviously number one. Again, you may already have this in your mood board if you are creating it. Another great asset is color.adobe.com, and I'll show you guys how this works because it's really cool to kind of generate random palettes, and then you can pull from them and create them in your own and use them to create them in your own branding. So while this loads, you can see here there are many different color categories that you can do. So you can do a monochromatic, you can do a triad, you can do complementary, a split complementary. There's so many different types of categories we can do with colors. So that is what I would recommend. And then once you have your colors, you can copy the color codes here and then use them in other brand assets, or even screenshot this and use it in your mood board or whatever you'd like. Another suggestion I have is going back to your mood board and picking out colors from there, colors that you like. So, you know, you can pick out this yellow, you can pick out this like dark red, this lighter pink, this like light peach, and then you can kind of get a sense of how a palette is starting to be created just from your mood board. So here's some examples of color palettes that I have from previous brands that I've designed. So right here in the middle is that Sammy Social palette that I keep referring back to. And so this is just this like darker red, that peachy color that we had talked about, the lighter pink, the yellow, and then I have like a gray just as like a neutral and to use on anything. And then here is another palette on the left here from another project. Again, very complimentary. We've got these like jewel tones almost with this dark green, this like pink color, a yellow color. I'm actually kind of getting bohemian vibes from this actually, this like darker brown color and this lighter pink. And then on the right here, this is this very like open and airy, like calming color palette. We've got a dark blue, a lighter pink, almost like a cool tone, like a cooler tone blue, a darker gray, and then again, another like lighter gray, just like a neutral color to keep in your color palette. So there's multiple different ways you can go about your color palettes. And for example, that resource that I showed you, the color.adobe, is a great way to kind of learn about what is a complementary palette, what is a monochromatic palette. And that'll kind of show you the options that you have and like the colors that you like. So once you like, I think in this, you can set your tones to like purple. So like maybe let's try setting it to like orange, right? And then you click monochromatic and it gives you this. And then if you click complementary, it gives you a complementary palette in kind of the realm of colors that you're looking for. All right, so let's talk fonts and typography. This is really, really important. And there's many different ways that you can go about this, but I'm going to teach you just a few. So I showed you I told you guys about the resources for your fonts that I have linked in here. Like I said, Creative Market is free and paid, DaFont, Font Squirrel, 1001 Fonts. And then another resource that I wanted to make sure that I included was typewolf.com. And that actually is a font pairing suggestion website. They have fonts and recommendations, so you can go ahead and go into it. So when you choose a logo for your, when you choose a font for your logo, you may not be able to use that font in your website or in Canva or something like that, because there are fonts that are only made for web, and then there are fonts that are made for other use. So there's like desktop fonts, and then there's web fonts, for example. So there are a lot of like general font pairings. So even if you have a logo that is a little more adventurous, like the Sammy Social logo, I can still pull this sans serif font and use it in my typography guide, which I'll show you guys an example of that. But I may not be able to use the script in a website or something like that, if that makes sense. Unless you were to make the headers outside of outside of the website, which I wouldn't recommend because it's not going to be able to get picked up by SEO, if that makes sense. So this is what I would recommend. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to make kind of like a style guide like this for your font. So you're going to want an H1, which is going to be a large heading, an H2, which is going to be something a little bit bigger, and then an H3, which is maybe something a little bit smaller, just for like certain titles of things, or if you're listing out like a blog post or something like that, or you have like a grid of something and you just want a little title underneath, would be something else to use. And then here you can have your like your quote font, so you know, whatever font that you choose in italics for any quotes that you have, and those are things that you can customize in Squarespace or Canva or whatever you end up using. And then here you there's some body copy here, and this is always going to want to be legible. So here I pair Open Sans with Brandon Grotesque, and again, this is a style guide for fonts that I use for Sammy Social. As you can see, Open Sans is not used in the logo itself, but it still needs to be used in the website and stuff like that just to be legible, and it's also a web font. So it's okay to kind of mix and match those, but just make sure that they pair up and that you're not using too many. I would say for a font style guide, you don't want to use more than two or three, going right back to what I was saying in the beginning with not using more than two or three fonts for your brand as a whole. And then down here we have the Shoreline script. And again, this is just something that you can pull if you want to, if you want to make something a little more fun for Canva, or like a business card or something like that. You have that like secondary, or you have that like other more decorative font that you can use on other things sparingly. You don't want to use this for a long sentence or anything like that. Like, I would use it sparingly for words just because script can get really hard to read, and you don't want your target audience to not be able to read, if that makes sense. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about brand application. So I wanted to first show you guys some social media application, and again, you can create graphics in Canva, you can create graphics in Photoshop, whatever works for you, whatever you find easiest. I know Adobe Spark also lets you do that as well if you're not super familiar with Photoshop and you want something a little more basic. Here's multiple ways that you can do that. So if you take a look at the Sammy Social feed, you can see how her branding has applied to her graphics. So here she has this like paint texture in the background that she uses for a post. There's like another swirl element up here that she uses, as well as you can see all of her colors are used in this graphic here. And then also a pattern that was created for her brand as well. Again, using her brand colors and acting as like a background to a tweet screenshot or something like that. I know that those are very popular on Instagram, and these are brand elements that can be used across all different platforms. Again, your social media or your website, or anything that you would like to use. And this is just an example of how you can kind of apply those things to your social media feed and have it be cohesive as far as a look and a feel. Okay, so in the realm of brand design, and in the realm of talking brand application, we can also talk about web design. So web design basics, I would focus heavily on your design settings, following your brandings, your colors, your fonts, and your elements, using index sections for each page. And this is mainly aimed towards Squarespace, just a heads up. So using index sections for each page for maximum customization. So I'm going to show you what I mean by that. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to hop into my website, daydreamdesign.co. And you can see how I have my website set up here. I have a video as my header, but you don't have to do that. This is just a custom brand video that I had made. And then I always have like my hook statement, or like my statement of interest, I guess you would say, in the first header of your website, because that's the first thing that people are going to land on and they're going to see. And that's initially what's going to pull them into your website. So just have that really clear and legible in one of your brand fonts, and then you can customize like a subheader here if you want to. And then you can see how If we scroll down, I have the index sections created very strategically. And what I mean by that is you're not going to want two colors like hitting themselves, if that makes sense. So here we have the video and then I have like white space. White space is a key in your website because you don't want people to feel so overwhelmed by your brand that they don't want to come back because it's not easy to read. So I have like just this really simple white space here. I have all of my content divided up visually in digestible sections. And this is really, really important, again, with the readability and the user friendliness of your website. And then you can see how we move into a color block here, again, pulled right from my brand color palette. And then I kind of just switch it up, you know, so I have where you can navigate to my blog or my podcast or my YouTube channel. And this is just created in little blocks, just to kind of switch things up visually. And this is really easy to do with Squarespace. And then I have a light color block with a pattern. So this is what I would consider like a pattern block. But again, I don't want anything too dark or too overwhelming, to be close together to that other gold color. And again, just another kind of orientation of text and my photo. And you don't want to do too many different things. You kind of want to stick to like three or four types of layouts for each block and then kind of go back and forth with them. And then another white space block, which is really, really important. Another pattern block with like a call out and a call to action. And then again, another ending it with a white space block. I really love ending the end of any page that hits your footer with a white space block just because it's really easy. Unless your footer is white, then you can end it with a color block, if that makes sense, as like your background. And then your footer here, make sure that this is really, really legible. You can have a super simple footer, but it's really just another great way to add information for people to navigate on your website. So let's talk settings. So I save backgrounds for my index page blocks. And what I mean by that is, I'll show you what I mean. So if you go to pages in your Squarespace website, and I actually have Squarespace 7.0. I know a lot of people are working on Squarespace 7.1, but you can go back and forth to whichever you're most comfortable with. So you can see here, I have this set up as a index section. So when you go to create a new page, you can click index section, and then you have the flexibility to customize each section, if that makes sense, versus only being able to customize a page and not add in multiple backgrounds. So if we go and hover over the hero section, which is that top bar section with my video, you can see and scroll down to media, and then you can see that you can drop in a video or an image. And that's how I get those backgrounds on each section, is to save that background from Canva, or you can save it from Photoshop and just again, pull from that brand color palette that we had talked about earlier, and you'll be good to go. And then for other customizations, as far as look and feel, you can go to your design tab. You can go to site styles, and then you can see how you can customize all these different colors for each thing. You can customize each font and each color. You can customize your navigation color. So if we go up at the top here, you can see that I have my gold color as my navigation color. Your secondary font you can update, or any of your fonts can be that H1, H2, H3. So if you see here, this is my body copy, right? So it shows up content fonts, body text. Then if I click over here, you can see that this is content fonts heading 3. So that's H3. And then if we kind of scroll down here, we can see that this is H1 heading 1. And that is how you build kind of like a font style guide into your website. You build it before, and then you can import it into your website as you create it, if that makes sense. Another thing is to pick a template that fits your needs. So I would highly recommend the Brine template or the Rally template. Those are the most customizable, but you can also search around Squarespace templates and see what fits you best. Another recommendation that I have is to use beautiful imagery to break up your sections. As you can see here, I use a cloud background. We can check out another page here. again, another photo. I have these photos that were taken professionally. If you don't have the budget for that right away, you can also go on a free website. I use unsplash.com. Free pick also has free images that you can use as well. Again, check into the licensing of those, but usually they're royalty free. Okay, sorry, I had to switch my lighting setup a little bit because my computer was going to die. So going back into Unsplash, this is a really, really great place to go ahead and find free images. So if, say, you want to find desk images with like a computer or something like that to use on your website, you can type in desk images and find these really cute flat lays with like really aesthetic glasses or notebooks or something like that. And you can use those in your website as like a background, or you can just use it as a color or as a block in general on your index page to kind of break up that information, if that makes sense. The next thing is to use grids and elements to break up your text. So what I mean by this is, you can see there are these dividers that you can put in Squarespace. So if you go to your edit button for your section, these are called a line. So you add in a line right here, and you can use this and to break up any text. You can see here that I have things gridded out a little bit. If we see the full view, I have like this left-hand image with text on the right-hand side, and then my call to action on the bottom. And then up here, I have my text just in a single column like that, just to kind of switch it up. And then here I have columns. I have two columns for different things. And these are kind of like a grid column, where it just makes things a little bit easier to read. Make sure you're using your headlines. This is my H3, and then I have body copy and body text underneath it. And it's really easy to read through, and it's very much more digestible for people. Kind of same thing here. I added these little cute icons. You can get those from FreePick or flaticon.com if you want. Those are free things that you can add into your website just to kind of give it a little something. And then here I have my contact form, and then again another like single column where you can easily read the information that I have there. And then lastly, I want to talk to you guys about, when do you know that you're ready to work with a designer? So here's some things to consider. A designer will, one, make this process so much easier for you. If you're DIYing, or you get to the point where you're not loving your DIYing, I would say it's probably time to hire a designer. If you spend too much time designing your own graphics and need to spend more time on your business and do what you do best, you're kind of embarrassed to send people to your website or your social media page, or you don't have a social presence at all. Those are a lot of the same things that I hear from my clients, that they're just kind of like ready to work with a designer. Another thing is, you're overwhelmed, or you're ready to delegate those tasks to make running your business easier, and that you don't love your brand. In order to sell, you need to love your brand. And that's really, really important. It needs to be something that you're proud of and that you're excited to send out to people to show them your website or show them your social media feed. Another wonderful thing is that a designer will typically take a really deep dive and help you evolve into where you want to go after you've gone through the bumps of beginning a business or DIYing, for example. They'll take that deep dive. They'll dive into all the things that you want to do, where you want to go, your brand objective, your target audience, your ideal client, user persona, those types of things, and really jump into that process and dive deep with you to make sure that you have a product that you love. And then lastly is to find a designer that you love and get to know them before taking the plunge. Does their style of work fit your aesthetic? Would you work well with them? Do you like their personality? Do they have testimonials to back up their work and stuff like that? And if you guys need help, you can always reach out to me. And thank you so, so much for watching this. If you have any questions, feel free to always reach out. And enjoy. Thanks so much.